Nefer and the old man stood beside the shattered walls of Galala and watched the column fly past. Pharaoh led it, the reins wrapped around his wrists, leaning back against the pull of the horses, his chest bare, linen skirts whipping round his muscular legs, the blue war crown on his head, rendering him tall and godlike. Next came Lord Naja, almost as tall, almost as handsome. His mien was haughty and proud, the great recurved bow slung over his shoulder. Naja was one of the mightiest warriors of this very Egypt, and his name had been given to him as a title of honour. Naja was the sacred cobra in the royal Uraeus crown. Pharaoh Tomosa had bestowed it upon him on the day that together they had won through the ordeal of the Red Road. Naja did not deign to glance in Nefer's direction. Pharaoh's chariot had plunged into the mouth of the dark gorge before the last vehicle in the column went racing past where Nefer stood. Meron, his friend and companion of many illicit boyhood adventures, laughed in his face and made an obscene gesture, then raised his voice mockingly above the whine and rattle of the wheels. "I'll bring you the head of a Pepe as a toy," he promised. And Nefer hated him as he sped away. A Pepe was the king of the Hyksos, and Nefer needed no toys. He was a man now, even if his father refused to recognize it. The two were silent for long after Merin's chariot had disappeared and the dust had settled. Then Taita turned without a word and went to where the horses were tethered. He tightened the surcingle around his mount's chest, hiked up his kilts, and swung up with the limber movement of a much younger man. Once astride the animal's bare back, he seemed to become one with it. Nefer remembered that legend related that he had been the very first Egyptian to master the equestrian arts. He still bore the title Master of 10,000 Chariots, bestowed upon him with the gold of praise by two pharaohs in their separate reigns. Certain it was that he was one of the few men who dared to ride astride. Most Egyptians abhorred this practice, considering it somehow obscene and undignified, not to mention risky. Nefer had no such qualms as he vaulted up on the back of his favourite colt, Stargazer. His black mood started to evaporate. By the time that they'd reached the crest of the hills above the ruined city, he was almost his usual ebullient self. He cast one last longing glance at the feather of distant dust left on the northern horizon by the squadron, then firmly turned his back upon it. "Where are we going, Tata?" he demanded. "You promised to tell me once we were on the road." Tata was always reticent and secretive, but seldom to the degree that he had been over the matter of their ultimate destination on this journey. "We're going to Jebel Nagara," Taita told him. Nefer had never heard the name before, but he repeated it softly. It had a romantic, evocative ring. Excitement and anticipation made the back of his neck prickle, and he looked ahead into the great desert. An infinity of jagged and bitter hills stretched away to a horizon blue with heat haze and distance. The colours of the raw rocks astounded his eye. They were the sullen blue of storm clouds, yellow as a weaver bird's plumage, or red as wounded flesh, and bright as crystal. The heat made them dance and quiver. Taita looked down on this terrible place with a sense of nostalgia and homecoming. It was into this wilderness that he'd retired after the death of his beloved Queen Lostris, at first creeping away like a wounded animal. Then, as the years passed and some of the pain with them, he had found himself drawn once more to the mysteries and the way of the great god Horus. He had gone into the wilderness as a physician and a surgeon, as a master of the known sciences. Alone in the fastness of the desert, he discovered the key to gates and doorways of the mind and the spirit, beyond which few men ever journey. He had gone in a man, but had emerged as a familiar of the great god Horus and an adept of strange and arcane mysteries that few men even imagined. Taita had only returned to the world of men when his queen Lostris had visited him in a dream as he slept in his hermit's cave at Jebel Nagara. Once more she'd been a 15-year-old maiden, fresh and nubile, a desert rose in its first bloom with the dew upon its petals. Even as he slept, his heart had swollen with love and threatened to burst his chest asunder. "Darling Taita," Lostris had whispered as she touched his cheek and stirred him awake, "you were one of the only two men I have ever loved. Tarnas is with me now. But before you can come to me also, there is one more charge that I lay upon you. You have never once failed me. I know that you will not fail me now, will you, Taita?" "I am yours to command, mistress." His voice echoed strangely in his ears. "In Thebes, my city of 100 gates, this night is born a child. He's the son of my own son. They will name this child Nefer, which means pure and perfect in body and spirit. My longing is that he carry my blood and the blood of Tarnus to the throne of Upper Egypt. But great and diverse perils already gather around the babe. He cannot succeed without your help. Only you can protect and guide him. These years that you have spent alone in the wilderness, the skills and knowledge you have acquired here, were to that purpose alone. Go to Nefer. Go now swiftly and stay with him until your task is completed. Then come to me, darling Taita. I will be waiting for you, and your poor mutilated manhood shall be restored to you. You will be whole and entire when next you stand by my side, your hand in my hand. Do not fail me, Taita." "Never!" Taita had cried out in his dream. "In your life I never failed you. I will not fail you now in death." "I know you will not." Lostris smiled a sweet, haunting smile, and her image faded into the desert night. He woke, with his face wet with tears, and gathered up his few possessions. He paused at the cave entrance only to check his direction with the stars. Instinctively, he looked for the bright, particular star of the goddess. On the 70th day after the queen's death, on the night that the long ritual of her embalmment had been completed, that star had appeared suddenly in the heavens, a great red star that glowed where none had been before. Taita picked it out and made obeisance to it. Then he strode away into the western desert, back towards the Nile and the city of Thebes, beautiful Thebes of 100 gates. That had been over 14 years ago, and now he hungered for the silent places, for only here could his powers grow back to their full strength, so that he could carry through the charge that Lostris had laid upon him. Only here could he pass some of that strength on to the prince, for he knew that the dark powers of which he had warned him were gathering round them. "Come," he said to the boy, "let us go down and take your godbird."